And open up your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. I'll give us a little bit of time because that's not a book that we go to too often. It's page 847 in my Bible. Ezekiel chapter 37, we're going to start reading in verse 1. This is the word of the Lord. It says, "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley. And it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' So I answered, 'O Lord God, you know.' Again he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army." Let's pray this evening. Father, we thank you for your grace, for your mercy, and for your love, God. We're here this evening, God, joined together in your name. Lord, we need you tonight. You are the giver of life. You are the one that has rescued us, saved us, set us free, worked in our behalf. And today we need you once more, God. We pray that your spirit, God, would move in this sanctuary this evening, to touch the hearts of your people, to draw us closer to you, that we might accomplish the plan and the purpose that you have for us. God, I pray this evening that you would give me grace to minister your word. God, with the gift that you have given me, that you might be glorified, God. We pray that tonight, God, you would speak to the very depths of our heart and to the very fabric of our being, God. That you would remove every hindrance, every distraction, everything that would take our attention away from what you want to do in our lives, God. This evening we surrender our lives to you, God. Have your way in Jesus' name. And everybody said, praise the Lord, you can be seated. I want to thank God this evening for my salvation and for the opportunity that's been presented to me by my pastor, the ministerial staff, to be here, because tomorrow is a very significant day in my life, because it was 4 years ago tomorrow that I walked into the Victory Outreach Men's Home. Lost, hurting, without hope or direction, and God was able to do a work in my life, and I'm very grateful this evening for this opportunity that I have. You know, back in 1974, there was a group of Chinese farmers that were out on the countryside looking for a new place to plant a crop. And they came across a place that they thought was a natural hill or a small mountain. But as they approached it, they realized that it wasn't a natural formation. And they found an entrance into what they would discover was a tomb. And it wasn't an ordinary tomb. It was a huge tomb, a mausoleum, if you will. Many of the archaeologists that have gone to study that find compare it to a small city. It was built by the first emperor of China. I'm not going to embarrass myself by trying to pronounce his name, but his first name starts with a Q and it's Q-I-N. He was the first emperor of China. And he had a wanting to live forever. And as one of his preparations to enter into the afterlife, he commissioned some artisans in the community to build for him an army of soldiers made out of terracotta. And many archaeologists that have studied the find, and they look at the time when they were built or they were fashioned, realize that no one in China at that time was able to fashion such lifelike statues like the ones found in this tomb. They think that maybe they had some help from some Grecian artist or from a different part of the world, because the quality of these soldiers that were made out of pottery were so lifelike. They were life-size. They were had facial expressions, not one of them the same. Many archaeologists think that there was as many as 6,000 to 8,000 soldiers, chariots, horses, and weapons that were inside of this man-made mountain. His thought, first emperor, was that this army would follow him into the afterlife and protect him when he got to where it was that he was going. These soldiers, these replicas, were so exact and they were so defined that even the stitching on their armor was visible. Their facial expressions, the weapons, the fingerprints on their fingernail, on their fingers were visible. They went to great lengths to make an army that looked like pottery. And upon first observation of this great army, one would maybe be intimidated. One would maybe think like, wow, this is a mighty army. But upon closer inspection, you would find out that there was no life in this army. So even though the emperor thought that these army statues were going to follow him into the afterlife, hundreds of years later, when this find was excavated, those same soldiers were there. They still looked the same, and they were still lifeless. In the 37th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, we have something very similar that is taking place. Because if we look at the last scripture that we read in verse 10, it says that in the valley of the dry bones, what was there was an army. An army that had died in the valley or on the battlefield. But what I think is interesting and important to note, that there was no opposing army that caused the death of this army. The Bible says that they were laid out and all that you could see was the bones of this one army, the children of Israel. But there was no enemy to be found. The only thing that was dead in that valley was the children of Israel. The only thing that was dead in that valley were those that represented the kingdom of God. And we look and as we read this, we can't help but ask ourselves the question, how did they get that way? With no visible army, with no opposing force, we have what was an army assembled that died on the battlefield with no battle. They look like soldiers. They dress like soldiers. They probably talked like soldiers. They acted like soldiers, but they died on a battlefield with no enemy. You see, if we read the previous chapters in the book of Ezekiel, we find out what caused the death of this great army. The Bible says that they fell into disobedience. They fell into idolatry. And as a result, they were scattered from their homeland. And they distanced themselves from God. And even though outwardly they were still the children of Israel, and even though they still dressed the same way, they still spoke the same language, they still conducted themselves like they had before, but they were dead on the inside because their disobedience had distanced them from their God. You see, what is happening in this portion of Scripture is that distance, disobedience has created distance, and that distance had created a dryness, and that dryness created death. Let me give you an example of how distance or disobedience creates distance. All we have to do is to go back to the book of Genesis and look at the example of Adam and Eve. The Bible says that they were in the Garden of Eden. They had everything at their disposal, but more importantly than that, there was a time that was allotted or a time that was appointed where God would go and visit with Adam. There was a time when he would go down and he would have fellowship and they would go about the garden and he would name the animals and they had a unique kind of fellowship. He interacted with God on a daily basis. But when temptation came into the Garden of Eden, and the Bible says that Adam did take of the fruit and he ate, it created a distance. That one act of disobedience created a distance between Adam and his God. Because the Bible says that on another occasion, God came to the garden looking for Adam, and Adam was hiding. Because of his disobedience, he distanced himself from his God. And although Adam was created to live forever, because of his act of disobedience and separating himself from God, his days were numbered and he ended up dying a physical death. We look at Samson in the Bible, another example. The Bible says that Samson was an anointed man of God, had supernatural strength, was handpicked, selected by God to be a judge over Israel. But Samson had a weakness that involved being disobedient to a covenant that he had. And as a result, there was an occasion where the Bible says that Delilah cut his hair off. And the Bible says that Samson said, I'm going to get up just like before. I'm going to take out the Philistines. And when he got up, the Bible says that the Spirit of God had left him. And Samson didn't even know. His disobedience had distanced him from his God. We look at the story in the New Testament of the prodigal son. And we see that he asked for his father's inheritance before he was supposed to get it. His act of disobedience and coming against his father, the Bible says in that portion of Scripture that he took off to a faraway land. His disobedience had caused a distance between him and his father. And we can look at our lives as Christians sometimes. That even though outwardly we look like a Christian, we still come to church and we still speak the lingo. We still dress the part. And we can come to church every Wednesday and every Sunday. But if we're in disobedience, we are distancing ourselves from our God. If we are in disobedience, we are creating a gap between us and God. And that disobedience that leads to that distance leads to dryness in our lives. It leads to not only a separation, but a feeling of dryness where there is no more passion. There is no more drive. There is no more excitement. We're just going through the motions and we want to blame people and we want to blame the church and we want to blame circumstances. But when we get to the nuts and bolts of everything, it's our disobedience that has separated us from God. I know from personal experience what that process is like. I know from personal experience what it is to be disobedient to God. I know what it's like that to allow that act of disobedience to create a distance from God. to create a dryness from God and eventually cause a death because you're so far away from God, you don't think you could ever come back. I mentioned earlier that it was 4 years ago that I came into the home. Prior to that, I had gone down this road. I had come to a point in my life that because of my disobedience, it had created distance between me and God. And it finally got to the place where I thought that there was no hope for me. I thought that God had turned his back on me. I thought to myself that not even God's love could reach me, that I was so lost that even God couldn't find me. I thought to myself, I had messed up so bad that God had turned his back and didn't want anything to do with me. And in this portion of scripture, we see that Ezekiel is taken to the valley of the dry bones. And the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord takes him through the valley. He wants him to get a good look at what is taking place. He doesn't want just a snapshot. He doesn't want just a glimpse. He wants to immerse Ezekiel in the problem that is taking place with the children of Israel. He says, take a good look at what's going on with the children of Israel. And he says, what do you see? He said, there are a lot of bones. And they're dry. They're very dry. So God speaks to Ezekiel and he tells him, will these bones live? And I can imagine Ezekiel standing there in the valley of the dry bones thinking to himself, I don't know. Is this situation so far gone that it can't be recovered? Is this situation so bad that it'll never work again? Are these people so far gone, so lost, so lifeless that there is no hope of them ever coming back? And he finally says what he says, and he tells God, God, only you know. You know what Ezekiel is telling God? It's going to take a miracle. In my own ingenuity, in my own intellect, in my own thought process, there is no way that this situation can change. The only way that it's going to change is if something supernatural happens. It's going to take an act of God. It's going to take a miracle. It's going to take divine intervention because God is the only one that can breathe life back into these bones. You see, a lot of times we need a miracle in our lives. And I believe that this next couple of days during our summit is going to provide an opportunity for those of us that might be struggling, for those of us that have separated from God, for those of us that might have an emptiness in our lives, for some of us that have just been going through the motion. I believe that this weekend, God is going to be here. God is going to show up. And if you need a miracle, this is going to be the perfect opportunity for God to work in your life. He said, it's going to take a miracle. So then God says, okay, then I need you to prophesy to these bones. I need you to speak the word of God to this situation. I need you to speak a word to this hopeless situation. I need you to speak the word of God to this situation that looks like it's too far gone, that it'll never work out. I need you to speak life into these dead bones. And the Bible says that suddenly there was a noise. And then after a noise, there was a rattling. And then things started to come together. And I remember that Saturday morning, February the 1st, 4 years ago when I came into the home. And I remember talking to the pastor and spending the day there in the home, and the next Sunday morning, woke up, my tail between my legs, humbled myself, walking into the church that I had left 13 years prior, and sitting there, feeling ashamed, feeling, what am I doing here? Is this really going to work? And I remember the message to this day that Pastor Danny spoke that Sunday morning. It was on the prodigal son. And he talked about the grace and the mercy and the love that was extended to that wayward son. And it was a message that resonated in my heart. I started to feel like this portion of scripture, I started to hear a noise happening inside of my life that maybe there is still hope. Maybe God can still use me. Maybe God can still bring me back. There started to be a noise and a rattling. But that's not always enough. You see, because sometimes we come to church and we hear the noise. And we clap for the noise. We hear the word and we shout the amens and we say praise the Lord and we clap and we get excited and there's a whole bunch of noise. But then that's as far as it goes. We go, we leave the church and we're right back doing the same thing we were doing before we came to church. The Bible says that there was a noise and then there was a rattling. And then it goes on to say that pieces of the body started coming together. Because that's what the Word of God does when you sit under the preaching and the teaching of the Holy Spirit. When God's Word starts to go out, you start to hear the noise, but then things start to come together in your life. Little by little, as you continue to get into God's Word, you hear the preaching and you start to sit under the teaching of the pastor in your church. You start to see that things start coming together because the Word is active. The Word starts to do things in our life. We look at the Bible in the book of Genesis where God created Adam. The Bible says that God formed him. He assembled him. But then he had to breathe life into him. You see, the Bible says in the book of Acts that Jesus, who is the Word, had spoken to his disciples. And he told them to assemble themselves in the upper room. The instruction or the word, which is Jesus, came to them and says, you need to get together. You need to pray. The word brought them together. But it was the Spirit that birthed life into them. It was the Spirit that assembled the body and created the ministry of Jesus Christ. And we see here in this portion of scripture that things started to come together for the children of Israel. But they were still lifeless. They were still lifeless. They needed the breath to come upon their lives. You see, a lot of times what happens in our churches and in our personal lives, regardless of how long you've been serving God, we take on the outward appearance of what we should be, but there's nothing on the inside. We can fake it till we make it. We can be like those terracotta warriors, down to the last detail, down to the last threading, but without the power of the Holy Spirit breathing in our lives, we're just statues with no life. We have the appearance of godliness. We have the appearance of being a Christian. We have the appearance of all those things. But we're so far away from God that there is no power. There is no breath. So the Bible says that as the army is starting to get together, that God tells Ezekiel one more thing because they were all assembled, but they didn't have any life. He said, I need you to prophesy to these bones. I need you to prophesy and breathe the breath of life upon them. And the Bible says that he started to prophesy to the breath. And he called the breath to come from the four corners of the world, the four winds to come. And it breathed life into those lifeless soldiers, those lifeless warriors. And they were raised up like a mighty army. You know, what the message that I want to bring tonight in reference to this portion of scripture and the events that we have coming up this weekend is that we need the Word of God in our lives. We need that powerful teaching in our lives. But just as important as the preaching of the Word of God is the movement of the Holy Spirit inside of our hearts, because that's where we get the power to act on the Word that has been spoken into our lives. Because with the Word, our lives will be assembled, or we'll come together, and things will start to work out. But we need the breath of the Holy Spirit upon our lives to breathe life into us, so that we can be effective in accomplishing the plan and the purpose that God has for our lives. You see, in my own personal journey in getting back to the Lord, things started to come together for me. The Word of God was assembling things in my life, putting things together like my health, putting things together like my children, putting things together like a job, putting things together for me like a vehicle. But even with all the exterior things that were taking place, I still needed the power of the Holy Spirit. I still needed the breath of the Holy Spirit, because it is that supernatural power. It is that breath from God that gives you the motivation. It gives you the energy that you need to do the work that God has called us to do. Ezekiel was obedient to the voice of the Lord, because he knew that it was going to take a process. It wasn't going to be over just with the preaching of the Word. There was more that needed to happen. And my question would be to you this evening, who needs more? Who needs more? Who would be honest with themselves tonight to say, you know what? I'm not where I need to be. I come to church and I read my Bible and I do the things that I'm supposed to do, but I need more in my life. I need God to breathe His breath of life into me. I need an infilling of the Holy Spirit. I need a supernatural touch from God to go and be able to do the things that God has called me to do. I believe that we're here this evening because God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. And I believe that tonight is the beginning of what God wants to do in our lives through this summit. And we're going to hear good preaching. We're going to hear powerful messages. But I'm convinced tonight that we need to be filled with the Spirit of God in order to get that Word and be able to take action in what God wants to do in our lives. You know why? Because a lot of times, so many times, we have men and women. We go to World Conference, we go to men's Mighty Men of Valor, to women's retreat, and we sit under some of the best teaching and preaching that Victory Outreach has to offer. And then we come home and it's back to the same thing. Why? Because we need more than just the Word. We need God to breathe His Spirit in our lives. If you're here this evening, and you can take an honest assessment, just like Ezekiel, of the situation, and look and allow the Holy Spirit to look deep inside your heart, and you're able to see in your heart and see that there has been disobedience in your life, and that disobedience has caused a distance between you and God. You're not praying like you used to. Not reading your Bible like you used to. You're not having that fellowship like you used to. You're talking more to people than you are to God. You're being influenced more by the things around you than you are being influenced by God. And you would say tonight, you know what? I'm tired of living my life like that. I want to come back to that right relationship with the Lord. I want to close the gap. I want to close the distance between me and my God, because I need His power in my life. If that's you here tonight and you would be honest and say, you know what, that's me. I need to get back to where I once was with the Lord. I have allowed too many things to create distance between me and my God. Or if you're here this evening and you come to church, you hear the teaching, but you don't feel any passion. There's no power in your life. There's no supernatural demonstration of God in your life. You feel like you're just going through the motions. I believe that this is a turning point in a lot of our lives this weekend, starting with tonight. If we'll just open up our hearts and say, God, breathe on me tonight. Breathe that Holy Spirit on me, God. I don't want to be the same anymore. What I want to do this evening is I'm going to invite the minister of our church to come up. And we're going to anoint people with oil this evening. And we're going to pray for a filling of God's Spirit upon our lives this evening that is going to revolutionize our walk with the Lord, that is going to move us into this summit with an expectation of God moving in our lives like never before. But we need that breath to come upon our lives. So I'm going to invite the ministers to come and we can get some oil. And as they make their way to the front, I'm going to ask us all to stand all over this place. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands all over this place. Let's sing this song a few times. Let this be your prayer tonight. Hallelujah.
Yesterday's gone. Today I'm in need. Holy Ghost power. Breathe on me.
Come on, let this be your prayer.
Breathe on me.